Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Well, this is different. You're calling me.
Oh, and I'm not trying to FaceTime you. I know that. Sorry, I'm trying to
Sherry
get off
Gately.
Of
How
Hello.
Is it going? We've never officially
you know.
Spoken. And so
we haven't.
I'm having a bit of a fangirl moment right now.
Oh, hush.
No, I'm not serious.
Cool.
Like,
not that cool.
So can I tell you, like, no, seriously, like, I felt like I made it when during my chat, you called me out for breaking my own rules. I was like, oh my gosh, she listens.
I do. And I feel like. You call people out every single time, and I was cracking up at the irony of, like, and then get into it.
Yeah, thanks for that. And so then we're recording today for an episode, and I was like, and look at all those never mind. Never mind.
That's too funny.
I wasn't going to say a thing.
They were good questions.
They were, yeah. Well, okay, so you officially, you know how this goes. Tell us your name and your job title.
Okay, right now.
Yeah.
In this moment. Okay.
You got it. We're recording. We're live.
Oh, awesome.
Not live.
Cool. You can edit some of this stuff out.
Sure.
So I'm Sherry Gately. I teach AP language and AP literature at Putnam City West High School.
What grades does that encompass?
So it's 11th and 12th.
Okay, very cool. And yes. How did you get into education? What's your backstory?
Oh my goodness. So I did not take a direct path. I was probably the kid that needed an ICAP or whatever we're calling those suckers nowadays. But so I went to college right after high school, changed my major like 4 or 5 times.
Yes.
I don't know. At some point you stop counting.
Yeah, because it's ridiculous.
Right, it is. I ended up with sociology because I just had to finish, you know?
Yeah.
And then I worked for a couple of years in advertising and just knew that that's not what I was supposed to be doing. And I think I had an experience in college where I worked at a summer camp for kids that had been impacted somehow with HIV or AIDS.
Whoa.
And so in that experience, I think that kind of planted the seed for me to want to work with kids. And because it's always something that I thought about after. And so I kind of just got to the point where I realized I was supposed to be teaching and told my fiance at the time that I needed to go back to school. And he was like, cool, let's take on some more student loan debt.
Yeah.
And we did, you know, and now I'm teaching. So,
because
it's not really direct.
Let's be honest. When you've changed your major 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, who's counting? The classes don't always transfer into the new major.
Correct.
There's a little bit of waste there.
Right. Now, I will say the good thing is because I have a degree in sociology, I've had more Ruby Kane training than any districts could ever offer through PD. So anytime I've had to sit through that PD, I'm like, really? Would you like me to,
Can I,
to come and teach this?
Yeah. So
but,
that's awesome. Yeah. What were your intentions for your chat?
Okay, so I actually gave a speech at our district convocation about everyday advocacy, and that really was not my first topic. I was going to do literacy strategies, and then Cash Nelson beat me to it.
Yes, she did.
So I had to tell Annie Beck that I had to change my topic.
Like, because the next week, yeah. Let's talk reading again.
But I shared a story in my speech about the pivotal point in my career, which was my 3rd year of teaching, and I had a student who I really, we worked really hard. He kind of came to me with a reputation that he wasn't going to be an awesome kid to have in class, and shared with me in a piece of writing that he didn't actually want to be that person. And he worked really hard for me for a while, and then it just stopped. And I pulled him out in the hall, tried to figure out what was going on. And he said to me, when I asked him if he wanted to graduate, he said, "Miss G, people like me don't graduate. People like me end up in jail." Mm. And in that moment, I kind of realized I was doing everything wrong as a teacher, because so much of my focus was on pedagogy and classroom procedures and classroom management and trying to come up with innovating ideas, which I guess all of that's good, but I work with kids that need to believe that they deserve an education. Mm-hmm. And so I think I realized in that moment that I had to do so much more to champion for them before I could do any of the other stuff well.
Yeah.
My intention behind it, but I just wanted, I don't know, I feel like we need to be reminded of that as an educator.
Well, and you had questions that kind of put literacy in there, being foundational and stuff. So you still got a little bit of literacy in there.
I did.
What was your favorite question? Did you have a favorite question of the night, or one that you were like, "Oh, that's going to be the good one"?
Goodness, I really kind of liked them all. I will say that my favorite question, as far as responses, because there were so many elected officials that participated in that chat,
yeah,
was the question. I think it was around question 8 about what we could do to prevent another walkout.
Yeah.
Because I think that we are not at that point. And so it was interesting because those were some of my favorite responses to kind of see what people were doing post-April to keep that from happening. But I will say the other question that I really liked that was more about classroom stuff was asking about some strategies that people use in their classroom to advocate for kids. And I loved that there were so many responses that did not entail classroom procedures, because I feel like in every classroom management PD or class, you're always told from day one, you establish procedures, you do expectation,
and then you practice those procedures. Blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, you know, and you practice over and over. And there were so many people who I feel like have realized that's not actually the best, and that you've got to spend the first couple of weeks really creating a classroom culture that is positive and that inspires kids and makes them feel valued. And so that was my favorite question as far as like what's happening in the classroom and my favorite responses.
So I found question, 6, about the work-life balance.
Yes.
And so I thought it was really funny because Scott immediately was like, I have no boundaries. I don't know this. I need to find. And I was like, I don't know this. I quit answering emails at 10 finally, you know?
Yeah.
And then both of the tweets we picked were like, not the best at this, but, and then, still working on that. But, and then I was like, we're all in an 8 o'clock Sunday night Twitter chat. Still having a conversation. The people here probably aren't the best at doing this.
Right. But it's still so important.
It's still so important. But it was just hilarious to me. I was like, oh, gosh, this was a hilarious question.
Yes, I think my friend Katie Kinder actually even tweeted about that. She's like, meanwhile, my family is looking at me while I'm in the chat.
Yes, my husband is upstairs reading to the children, putting them to bed, and I'm here. Anyway.
Here I am.
That's awesome. So, okay, in EDU, or maybe not, what are some of your passions right now? What turns you on?
Design thinking.
Oh, yeah. So, tell us about Stanford.
Yes. Okay. So I went to a professional development conference at Stanford, which is, they have a design school. So it is its own school at Stanford University. It's not a major, so you can't actually get a degree in design thinking.
No, let's just find another way to take your money and not give you anything out of it. Just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
I know. It is, you know, welcome to college or America. I don't know. But so they offer these elective classes that really actually work for every major, regardless of the major,
okay,
where they teach people how to use design thinking in their particular field. So while they don't offer something like their specific major, they do gear it towards whatever that person is doing. So it was me and two other people from my school and educators from across the world. I mean, there were some educators from Brazil and Australia there and then across the country. But we worked on ways to implement design thinking in our classroom, which is really project-based learning.
Right.
Except for design thinking, you have to think about a particular group of people. So it begins with empathy interviews.
Right.
And you interview somebody and you have to create something based on what that person needs. And you have to really get to the root of what they need. And sometimes you have to do a lot of inferencing with that because you ask them questions and you listen to their story and you have to think, okay, well, they told me this, but what they're really telling me they need is this. And then you create a product that helps fulfill whatever need it is. So we did two different design challenges. We did one that was just a mini one with a partner where we had to redesign the weeknight meal experience. And then we did like design a new city experience. And that was more of a big group one where we had to go out onto the campus and interview some random people. And I actually somehow interviewed somebody from Oklahoma that was visiting.
Wow.
I was like, wow, this is a small world. And we had to create a new city experience. So we came up with this like tourist app that would pair new people coming to a city with somebody who lived there, and they would essentially be a tour guide, but kind of like an Airbnb for tourism.
Oh my word.
But it was so much fun. And so my first design project that I'm doing in my class this year is my AP Lang students do a whole unit on education, and then their design product is going, or design project will be to redesign the high school experience.
Can you please keep us informed of how that's going?
Yes, I'm going to invite some legislators to come, and because I think they need to hear the ideas of our students and how we can maybe improve education that doesn't necessarily. We still need more resources, but that doesn't necessarily need more resources, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So, I get to make my schedule pretty flexible this year. Please invite me. Please.
Yes,
me. Pick me. Okay.
So, we just are finishing up a marketing project and we're going to head into our education unit. So it'll probably be about a month away, but I will keep you informed on that.
Yes.
Yes. Come and watch.
Awesome. Okay. So, who are your edu heroes? Who does Sherry Gately look up to?
Oh my goodness. There's so many. Everybody in Oakland Ed. I have learned so much. I think I've been involved in the Oakland Ed chats for about a year now. And like listening to the podcast, like you and Scott are freaking rock stars.
Shut up.
And you know what's so funny? No, this is so funny. So I don't know if you remember this, but like our first experience, like my first tweet that was on the Oakland Ed podcast was you and I totally disagreeing about something.
Of course. what did we disagree about?
I don't remember what we were talking about, but it had something to do with like me believing that sometimes parent choice is really about separating kids from those kids.
Okay. I can totally see that. Yes. And that may have been, I've gotten into several disagreements on Twitter.
No, but it wasn't a bad, like it was one of those things where I don't even remember what you said on the podcast, but I was like, I don't agree with that.
So I took it and twisted it. Of course I did.
You didn't take it and twist it, but I was like, you picked my tweet because you didn't agree with me. And I was like, well, I don't agree with you.
Well, I'm a jerk like that. I'm like, well, I'm going to take this and prove my point.
No, you didn't. And we actually, like, then conversed via Twitter a few times after that. And I was like, okay, well, I get that. And I mean, it was not a bad conversation.
Okay, good.
At all. But I just think it's funny because I'm like, man, but I need to meet you in real life.
I do. I want to meet you in real life. So I was just listening last night. That kind of reminds me a little bit of I listened to a podcast last night. Do you listen to other podcasts?
Yes, I okay. do. I am a dork.
Okay, so. Me too. That's, oh my gosh, we're kindred spirits. So, revisionist history, I started season 3, and then, like, before episode 1, there's this bonus episode where Malcolm Gladwell and Adam Grant are in a conversation. And I love Adam Grant and his books, yes. and he's a super psychologist. And Malcolm Gladwell reminds me a little bit of John Bennett because he just kind of considers things and goes specific. Anyway, and they were he was like, I really love getting into – if I disagree with you, it's because I completely love where you're going, but I want to change your mind. And I was like –
Yeah, I love that.
And so Sherry and I became friends because of one tweet. And
there we go.
Anyway, no. Okay.
And look how far we've come.
Okay, so Okla Ed, who else do you look up to? Well, who I think I stopped you.
Todd Gragg.
Yes.
Which him and I, we're going to work on some stuff together, and I am super excited about it. Like, we're talking about some ways we can maybe think of how to combine AP US history and AP language together and do some presenting on it. But so he is awesome. Oh my goodness. Shane Sanders, who is kind of like one of my principal heroes right now as I'm working on an administration degree, like, you know, like, dude, we need to be colleagues at some point.
Yes.
Rick Cobb. Oh my goodness, I know I'm forgetting people, but there's just Talena Norfar. Like, come on! Like, there's so many good ones. There's so many good teachers in Oklahoma. There's so many good teachers in Oklahoma, and they are. I don't know. I'm inspired by a lot of them.
No, I totally have to agree with you, and I think it's insane that we were 49th in the nation in pay. I'm glad we got, you know, our bump. But there are so many good teachers in Oklahoma to keep paying us such a crappy, you know, low level.
Yes.
I mean, you're not the only Okla Ed person that's been saying this. Like, when people say who their edu heroes are, most of the time they're Okla Ed people. And it's not as if we don't reach out and get out, you know. So I love that you're just saying that, and Okla Leg, go ahead and listen.
Yeah, we do a lot for free.
yes, we do.
When I, like, just being around some teachers at different conferences, and especially at Stanford, there were teachers from Minneapolis and California and Washington and just all these different places. And first of all, they were very inspired by our walkout, which I thought was really cool that they had been paying attention. But just some of the stuff, like, that we do extra just for free, they get paid for. Like, like staff meetings.
What?
Yes, like, they are required to be paid hourly for anything they do outside of their contract hours for the day. And, like, staff meetings and just, like, all of these random committees that we are all on. Because we care about our school so much, they get paid to be on all of these.
Oklahoma, you don't know how good you got it.
No.
I mean, not teachers, but, yeah.
Right, but the states, yes.
Wow.
So.
Well, I really do look forward to coming and seeing what you and your students are doing. Please, like I said, invite me. And are you going to host another Twitter chat?
Yes, I will. I will. My life is kind of slowing down now that all of the State Teacher of the Year stuff is over. So
that was really exciting. Oh, my gosh. Tell me about that. Like, A, how does that process work? B, were you shocked? Like, tell me about that before I let you go.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I was chosen by my school, and that's just teachers vote on that, which is incredibly humbling to be selected by your peers for anything. But, and then, the district goes through kind of the same process as the state does, where you have to write a whole bunch of essays that talk about your teaching philosophy and, some issues in education and trends that you see and why you became a teacher and just some questions like that. And you submit that, and then you have to go in for an interview and, have to make a video of yourself teaching and, have some students write some recommendation letters and, submit it all. And then I guess they score it and decide from that. But it's, the nice thing is I feel like as a finalist, it gives me a little bit, bigger microphone with some of the decision makers at 23rd and Lincoln.
Yes.
And, you know, I appreciate that.
No doubt.
Because we got some work to do.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you. I just love you. You're awesome.
Yes, I feel the same way as well to you.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.